Drunk on Comics special edition interview with the great, the awesome, the uncanny Dirk Manning.
Hey, what's going on, Dirk?
Good, man. I'm taken aback when you guys had all those adjectives. I thought someone else was going to be on the show.
Well, you know, I realized this is now our fourth interview with you. So you've basically become like the Steve Martin and Paul Simon of our show, as they are to Saturday Night Live.
You're our longest-running interviewer.
Yeah.
Or interviewee, so.
Yeah, so we're going to have to get you one of those special robes and, you know, have you into the green room.
Why don't I have a dressing room yet? I mean, really, come on. I have to keep sleeping on the couch or, you know, on the floor, and I wake up and someone's snuggling with me. And, you know, that awkward thing where you have to, like, move the arm without waking him up.
Well, that Tony likes to cuddle, so.
Yeah. Well, I'm not going to lie. Dirk Manning likes to snuggle, so it's all good.
Yeah.
Yay.
I just want a private room to snuggle in for my fifth appearance.
Yeah. Well, we can probably figure that out. I mean, it's more than a closet, a little bit more than a closet, but, you know, it's...
You heard it here first. Dirk Manning's a diva.
Hey, I'm not picky. I just prefer my privacy. Thank you.
Well, we're going to make you not private today, and we're going to make you talk about stuff that's going on. So...
I will do my best.
Yeah. So... what's cooking with you? You got a couple books in the works here that we wanted to chat with you about, and we can finally officially chat with you about them.
Yeah, you know, we've been kind of talking, we saw each other at Motor City Comic Con, and I got to kind of tell you guys a little bit about it, but I can officially announce I have actually two books in previews, the July previews, that'll be coming out in September, so that's pretty cool. The first one is Love Stories to Die For. It's coming out from Image Comics Shadowline. Very, very cool book. A lot of people are familiar with my online comic series, Love Stories About Death, and this is kind of the evolution of that to print. But it's going to be a 48-page flipbook with two full-length, 22-page one-shots, each one by a different artist, both of them written by me. So you pick the book up off the shelf. The first story is called Deceiver of the Gods. And it's a 22-page vampires versus Vikings story.
So
just straight out, balls to the wall, action, crazy, just hurrah! You know,
why the coupling of vampires and Vikings?
Pardon me?
Why the coupling of vampires with Vikings? I mean, other than the awesome factor.
Well, the awesome factor, that's it.
Okay.
There is a weird kind of, it's not even really weird, it's pretty straight ahead. There's a love story aspect to it. But basically you're just taking two, you know, real badass sets of characters, you know, really. I don't want to give too much away about the setup of the story, but basically you have some Christian sympathetic Vikings who stumble across a monastery and agree to help the monks protect themselves from these thieves, quote-unquote thieves, that are trying to raid the monastery
okay.
at night. And the Vikings quickly find out that it's a large pack of very vicious, very feral, old school, hardcore vampires.
All right.
Do they sparkle?
No sparkles.
No sparkling vampires.
No
gotcha.
Sparkling. No, this is it's violent. It's very action oriented. It's very violent. It's probably one of the most. Yeah, I guess most action-y, violent things I've ever written. There's some scenes in the book. Rich Bonk is drawing it. He's done a bunch of Xenoscope covers. He used to do stuff like Spawn the Dark Ages back in the day. There's some scenes in Deceiver of the Gods in the first story that I've never, ever seen done in a horror movie. I've never seen done in a vampire thing. So I'm really excited about it. It's just 22 pages of ass-kickingness.
Awesome. And then you get to take the book... Turn it upside down,
right.
Flip through it the other way, and
yeah,
what's
yeah,
that story about?
The book over, and the other story is called Symptom of the Universe, and it's more of a science. We go total opposite direction. This is much more of a blatant love story, but it's also a science fiction horror story. Symptom of the Universe is illustrated by Owen Gianni, and we're going... As much as Deceiver of the Gods is kind of like an old school 90s image, big muscles and just sinewy vampires, just in your face, that kind of action. Symptom of the Universe is illustrated in a lot more kind of like a painterly, heavy metal style, kind of like if you think like Black. sad, that European look.
Yeah.
And Owen Gianni's an amazing artist. Both Rich and Owen are guys that we've worked together in very limited capacities in the past, and this is our chance to really blow the doors open. Symptom of the Universe is basically Romeo and Juliet meets the horror video game Dead Space. There's a space station overrun by horrible aliens, because really, what kind of other aliens are there besides the horrible, bloodthirsty kind?
E.T.?
Well, yeah, I was thinking E.T. too.
What do you have against Reese's Pieces?
We haven't really learned what E.T.'s people are all about.
I was thinking of all the sexy, different, you know, colored aliens that Captain Kirk got to sleep with, but okay, we'll go with the only aliens are the evil, monstery ones.
You know, again, we never really see much of what those aliens are really like.
This is true.
Well, what about Alien Nation? They came down and, you know, they got jobs and they were given names like George Washington and, you know, stuff like
that. You know what? The one exception I would make would be the Alien Nation aliens, because that, not only for the awesome reference, but for the awesome movie, and I would say the even better television series.
Yeah. Yeah, the TV show was great, and that chick alien, she was hot. I had a major crush on her.
Yeah, you gotta stop stereotyping aliens. You're an alienist.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, add that to the ists, I am, I suppose. But we'll just say the majority. The space station's overrun by these, you know, nasty, vile, horrible aliens. Not the nice, pleasant kind like an alienation. And what happens is there's one escape pod left that can hold two people. And the three people left alive on the ship are a woman and her husband and the woman's lover.
I was hoping that you could feel, because I didn't know how much we could actually give away yet, you know, and I know that wasn't it Motor City? It was Cherry Capital the week following when I got to get a little peek at you know what you were planning for that one, and so yeah, that's the one I'm more intrigued with, you know, because it's, I don't know, that one to me, I really like the whole idea of how do you make that choice? You know, that's always a fun little thing for me.
Oh, yeah. I'm very much interested in all the stuff I do about the morality play aspect of things. And even Deceiver of the Gods has that much more than I'm probably letting on. But in the second story in the issue, Symptom of the Universe, it's obviously very, very blatant. You know, the first five pages, here's where we're at. Because there's this woman who, her husband is the one that saved her life. And he's basically going to detonate the space station and says, listen, you know, if I'm not, you know, here's all these monitors. You can see where I'm going to be at in the ship. If I'm not going to make it back, just go. Well, she thinks there's no way. And she doesn't love him anymore. You know, he's an older guy. He's a grizzled guy. Kind of think like old school Cable. You know, this
that's exactly what it looked like. Looking at the pictures with the giant bulking shoulder pads and all the pouches.
Oh, and totally. You know, we're doing it just to have fun. Owen Gianni did Evangeline, which was originally associated, you know, is a Rob Liefeld property. So yeah. There's that little homage in there for kind of fun. But, he's just this big old grizzled dude. And he's like, yeah, if I'm not going to make it back, you just need to go. And he loves her very much. And he saves her life. And then he goes to do his duty to blow up the ship to, you know, to eliminate the threat. And she thinks to herself, well, there's no way he's going to make it back. So she grabs her lover and brings him in and says, you know, we should get out of here. Well, then she sees on the monitors he's starting to make it back. And he most likely will make it back to her. So does she either split with her lover or throw him out and leave this guy who she genuinely loves to die for the sake of a husband who she doesn't love, but kind of saved her life, and it's this big, complex
love versus duty.
Well, right, and I'm almost wondering if there's a Brokeback Mountain twist at the end where you find out that the husband and the lover are actually lovers too.
No, but I will say that through the course of the 22 pages, you'll find out there are a couple other survivors on the ship as well, which are going to complicate things.
Ooh.
Yeah. So they're not the only three left, and I haven't told anyone else that, just for you guys.
Wow, that's an exclusive.
Yeah.
Nice. But it gets more and more complicated as the story unfolds. Very much the lifeboat type thing. You know, what do you do?
Yeah.
And again, love versus duty, right? You know, it's a very strong proponent of that story, which both of them I'm really, really excited about. You know, these are both stories I've wanted to tell for a long time, and I'm really glad that Shadowline, that, you know, Jim Valentino basically is letting me not only letting us put out these stories, but doing it in this format. You know, you get a 48-page package, two full-length 22-page stories for less than $5.
So this is something you said you wanted to do for a while. Like, how long have you been sitting on these stories?
The online, you know, version, when we called it Love Stories About Death, we did 3 one-shots, and then these are 2 brand new ones for print. These are all stories that kind of gestated within me, you know, and sprouted, whatever you want to say it, back when I was writing Nightmare World years ago. But they were stories that were too big to tell in Nightmare World. Nightmare World was very regimented, 8-page stories, get in, get out. And these were stories, you know, the Vampire vs. Viking one, the science fiction one that I was telling you guys about, and even the 3 online, the girl that's Guardian Angel falls in love with her, the wrestling story and the zombie story. They were stories that no matter how I wanted to slice it, I couldn't do these stories justice in 8 pages. It wasn't the right format. So these were stories I was sitting on for years, and originally, you know, my original plan back in the day was going to be to go from Nightmare World to doing these bigger stories. I ended up doing Tales of Mystery in the meantime and Far Seekers and some other things like that. But it's been a while. These are stories that I've been kind of sitting on for a while and that we've been kind of playing with for a while, and now we're unleashing on the world this September.
Now,
with this first one shot.
For both the stories in here and I guess on the other book that we're going to be talking about here in a second, did you know ahead of time who you were going to be working with for your artists, or how did that one come together?
Love Stories to Die For, very much so. I mean, whether it be good or bad, I mean, I think it's good, but some people might disagree. I'm very much a person that I have certain stories I want to tell, and I don't so much worry about who's going to release it, even the commercial viability of it. I don't. It's like, these are stories that I believe in, and the artists and I get together, and if they believe in it too, we do it, then we worry about how we're going to get it out there, you know? Yeah. I take very much almost a novel writer's approach to things. It's like, this is the story I'm going to tell, and then we'll figure out what to do with it. So in the case of Deceiver of the Gods, it's, you know, Rich and I have been talking about doing this story for a long time, you know, finally we got to a point in both of our schedules where we could do it. It's the same with Owen Gianni. We've been talking about this story for a couple of years, and he's been doing the stuff for Evangeline and been doing some coloring work for Glory and some things like that. And our schedules finally got to the point like, okay, we can do this story. So Deceiver of the Gods is very much Rich and I's baby. Symptom of the Universe is a story that I had written, you know, Owen and I were finally to the point like, listen, it's time for us to do something together. And I pitched the story to him, and we have a very similar horror sensibilities. So he just was like, yeah. And he's the one that really brought the idea up about making this a very culturally diverse story as well. You know, in Symptom of the Universe, 2 of the 3 main characters are of color. There's going to be some other characters in there that are more multicultural as we go on as well. And he contributed a little bit to it that way, but these were very much stories that everything in my career to date, all my creator-owned stuff, I gear it specifically to the artist.
Yeah, well, that was one of the things I was curious about, because I mean, in the 143 other interviews we've done with you, we've talked about, you know, we've talked about how working with different artists, you may take different approaches.
Sure.
And so, you know, I was kind of curious on those, if these were things that you had written that once you found out who the artist was, that maybe you had to tweak something a little bit here or there, or if you had, you know, if you wrote them with a certain person in mind.
I knew the story, and like with Symptom, once Owen committed to being the artist on it, because there was a point we were talking about Josh Ross, who I did Volume 1 of Tales of Mystery with. We were talking at one point about him drawing it, because Owen loves his art, of Josh penciling it, but then Owen inking and coloring it. And what happened, you know, it got to a point where Owen said, you know what, no, I'm going to do, I want to do the whole thing, you know, and he ended up, and we were fine with that. You know, Josh had a baby recently at that point, and has his tattoo careers, is going gangbusters. So I then wrote the script for Owen. I would have written the script differently had Josh Ross been drawing it. Josh Ross is a guy that, you know, if I would put five panels on a page, he'd give me a page with seven or eight panels. That very much Darrow, Jose von Ripp style of art.
Yeah.
With Owen, because he has more of that heavy metal, black, sad, European look to his art, I opened up the panels a lot more, and I opened up the storytelling a lot more to let him really go wild with it.
Okay, that's awesome. So
it's even if it's a short term marriage, it's a marriage, and it's a partnership, it's a collaboration. Yeah, I totally would have. The story would have been the same story, and you would have had the same ending, but I definitely would have manipulated the storytelling techniques I use as a writer had a different artist been drawing it.
I have one more question on this book.
It's
a double-sided question.
Because you can flip it around.
Yeah. I just love being able to say that kind of shit. The first is, if the comic shops order these, which cover do you want facing out?
Ooh.
Ideally, they'll flip-flop them. So, like, if you take one off, like, you know, I think just because of which one we got first, Deceiver of the Gods was cover A. But they're two very dynamic covers. The Deceiver of the Gods cover, the vampire Viking story, is a white background, and it has, you know, the vampire and the Viking going at it, and it's got the monk behind him holding up a baby in the sky, and there's a bonfire behind him, all got the crazy stuff going on. And then the flip cover for Symptom of the Universe is an exploding space station with the escape pod kind of shooting away from it. So they're two, and it's very bright, very vibrant, lots of reds and oranges. So they're two very different covers. I mean, they're both great covers. Like I said, I would just say flip-flop them. You know, do something where if the Vampire Viking cover's facing out, when you take it off the shelf, behind it you'll see the Symptom cover.
Okay.
It got to go that way.
So now
just by a little way of dodging the question a little bit. The Matrix move?
Yeah. Well, wait until you get this one, because here's the flip-flop of that question. I'm trying.
I don't know. That was a forced problem.
So, when they do flip books, do you think that there is any, maybe not intentional, but however in the back of their mind going, this is sweet, because if we put out both different, you know, put out the same book in two different ways that we might sell... occasionally, one person, two copies.
If that's the case, people have one to lend to their friends. You know, it's certainly not a thing where. I mean, ideally for me, it would have been a situation where it would be nice if we'd square bind it, things like that. It almost sell like a little mini trade paperback, you know, almost
yeah.
Like prestige book. But you know, you get into cost of printing and things like that, and you have to balance this out. This is the type of thing that really. I don't know the last time anyone has done a double-sized flip book like this, I would almost say ever. I'm not going to say I'm the first and brag about it, but I don't know if anyone else has ever done a flip book where you have a major publisher doing two full-length 22-page stories packaged into one book in this format.
Yeah, I mean, I don't remember seeing one that was full length. I mean, the only time...
And you're old, so that goes way back.
Yeah, I'm really old.
I think I saw, like, at Free Comic Book Day, a couple of the more for children, you know,
yeah.
Elementary school comic
but
book.
But they aren't full length.
They weren't full length, no.
So. No, they're little samplers. Like, and I love the flipbook idea. And back in the day when I was self-publishing, what I would do with Nightmare World Stories was I would sell little... 16 or like maybe 20 page, whatever they were, flip books, where what we would do was they'd be 2 8-page stories, and then you had some extras in the middle, some exclusive content. And I could produce those very inexpensively, but they were full-color books, you know, go print on demand, get them out there, and really help me on the con circuit, you know, get word out about the online series. So the flip book idea to me, I just love the idea of, you know, you pick up a book, read it, flip it over, get a whole other story, things like that. But to do something like this, like I said, I really give, you know, Shadowline and Jim Valentino a lot of kudos because, you know, I'm always trying to push the envelope and do weird and crazy stuff and stuff like that. So I'm pretty excited about it. I mean, it's definitely not a ploy to get people to, like, buy two copies and then say, oh, bitch, Dirk Manning got me, you know. scarf and hat, like, make it rain, throwing my $1 bills up in the air.
You know, if you get rolls of pennies, it rains a whole lot different. But
it hurts a lot more.
Yeah. Now, you've got something else coming out from Big Dog Inc.
Yeah. I'm really excited about this, too. In September, like I said, this is the first time I've had two books and previews at the same time. It's crazy. They have this great, great, great comic called Legend of Oz, The Wicked West. And what it is it's The Wizard of Oz rooted in the Wild West. And it's just this... I'm very blatant about this. It is a series that is much better than it has any right to be based on what you may think of the initial premise. I mean, sir, I've told Tom that right to his face. I'm like, I was never a big Wizard of Oz guy, per se. But it is such a freaking good series. It works so well. He's reimagined the characters in just some fascinating ways. It's just a great... in comic that I fly the flag with this book so hard. It is so good. And I met Tom and Kim at a convention, and we talked after the show and things like that. I actually first got to know them because they did a open call to someone to do a short story in the annual for their superhero book Critter. And I'm like, short story? Whoop! You know, here I am. And I pitched my idea to him, and Tom accepted it. And then we started talking some more, and he said, would you be interested in maybe doing some of one of our other books? And I told him flat out, I'm like, man, I would love to do something with, Legend of Oz, The Wicked West. And he said, well, yeah, we do some offshoot. We're thinking about doing an offshoot miniseries with some of the different characters. And I said, I want to do The Flying Monkeys.
Good and choice.
He goes, everyone wants to do The Flying Monkeys. And I never do this. I'm a fiercely, fiercely, fiercely creator-owned type of guy. I don't do a lot of work for hire stuff ever. I did a short story for Xenoscope. I did a short story for Riley Rossmo for Dies de la Mortis because I love Riley, and it was like a dream to get to work with him. But what I did was, talking to Tom at the time and Kim, I actually said, here's what I would do with the Flying Monkeys. I said, I want to do the origin of the Flying Monkeys. And I like gave him like a one sentence, like, boom, here's my pitch for it. And a week later, I had the contract.
Nice.
So it was like, there it is. Issue 12 comes out in September. And I'm going to be doing what was going to be a 3-issue arc is now going to be a 4-issue arc. It's about the origin of the Flying Monkeys. And what's really cool is this is a perfect jumping on point for people that have never explored this book before. Because this issue is also the return of Dorothy to the series, who's been out of the series for a while. Dorothy comes back to the book as the Witch of the West.
Ooh. Bum, bum,
which
bum.
Makes a lot of sense. Because, she killed the Witch of the West.
Yeah.
Well, and she killed the Witch of the East.
So she's a murderer.
She comes back to the book as the Witch of the West and the Witch of the East. And one of the things we explore in these 4 issues is how she kind of adapts to this role, having this legion of flying monkeys, but in the book they're actually flying gorillas with giant bat wings, so it's even better. And how she kind of learns about specifically the origin of the flying monkeys, the Winkies, who are like those Oreo soldiers, from the
movie. Oh, yeah.
Oreo.
And they're in there. Yeah, Oreo. And we also get to touch on all the other characters, the Scarecrow, the Tin Man, and things like that.
Scarecrow's really pretty hot in this book.
Pardon?
The Scarecrow's pretty hot in this book, though.
Yeah, Scarecrow's like this female Native American Scarecrow. She doesn't talk. The Tin Man's like the sheriff, this kind of grizzled old sheriff and things like that. It works so well. It just makes me sick. It's like, wow, this just is fantastic. But yes, I'm getting to tell the origin of the film. And nice. I'm just really, 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 really stoked about it. And this will actually be the longest, I guess, continuing story that people have ever seen me do. Even stuff like Tales of Mystery was one story, or Nightmare World's one story, but it's broken up into little pieces. This is just 88 pages of me getting to cut loose with the flying monkeys in the Land of Oz, and a bunch of crazy stuff happens, and it's a very emotional story at times, it's very scary at times, and it's good stuff.
Well, I know you said you don't like doing stuff for hire, but if this, a lot of people are like, man, I love this story with this, is this something where you might try to help out with this series again?
I've really enjoyed working with Big Dog Inc., and definitely, they have a lot of really cool books. They have books coming, the book Scheherazade they have coming out is just going to wreck people when it comes out. And they have some other things I'm not even allowed to talk about yet, books coming down the pipeline. Tom usually launches all the books himself, starts writing them himself. Should, hypothetically speaking, he get to the point where he wants to start handing off some of the books to maybe a different writer?
Maybe a shadowy figure?
Maybe those conversations maybe are happening a little bit, if I happen to absolutely love what Big Dog Inc. is doing, which I do. But I can't say anything for sure, but yeah, I mean, like, you know, I mean, coyness aside, Big Dog Inc. puts out great stuff, and in an industry where so many people complain about the fact that, you know, they're getting what they feel to be force-fed, a bunch of stale storytelling and things like that, you know, I tell everybody, man, look at the stuff Big Dog Inc. is doing right now. Especially, you know, Legend of Oz, Wicked West number 12. Brand new perfect jumping on point, brand new story arc, new writer for 4 issues. That'll tell you what you need to know about what those guys got going on.
So basically what our listeners need to do is, because these books are in previews right now,
yes,
for Diamond, when you go into your comic shop this week, tell your retailer, I want to make sure that you're picking up Legend of Oz from Big Dog, and I want to make sure you're picking up Love Stories to Die For from Image. Go ahead and just order those and put those in my pull for me. And that way, your retailers will know that you want it, and you won't miss out on it.
Well, right, because, you know, Love Stories to Die For is an Image number one book. Do the math. You know, it's not a trade paperback. It's not like 3 months later you'll be able to go get it. And the and Legend of Oz, Wicked West, it's a book that a lot of people aren't aware of yet. You know, the book's only been around a year in September. And a lot of people aren't aware of this book. And, you know, maybe the store might order a copy or two normally, and you got one or two people that are really, you know, gung-ho about this series. And as a result, when casual customers go in, they don't even know the book exists. You know?
Yeah, they don't go until...
I even sent you guys like a coupon. You can put it on your website. Say, here, you got to let your comic store owners know, pre-order me these books. Otherwise, there's no guarantee you'll get them.
Yeah.
Especially not at cover price.
Yeah, I mean, I'm lucky because my comic shop, they're fantastic when it comes to the indie books. And, you know, whether it's Image, who is, you know, obviously the largest indie publisher out there, or you get somebody like Big Dog, they've only been around for 2 years, 3 years, am I right?
Yeah, maybe. Yeah.
You know?
Not long.
No. And I first found out about them last October at a convention. And I was like, oh, and then the next week I go into my comic shop and they're carrying Big Dog's stuff. And I was like, oh, wow, okay. So, I mean, I'm very lucky that I have a great comic shop that does that, but there are a lot of other comic stores around that carry very, very minimum, if any, independent stuff, so you have to ask them sometimes if you want it.
I found that I started getting onto Comixology, and if your comic book store is linked in with them, it's pretty easy to let them know, hey, I want that book, and they'll pull it for you, which makes it very convenient for me, so...
Nice for the lazy guy, too.
Yes.
Yeah. So, now, Dirk, do you have any other projects coming up?
That's the big stuff I can announce right now. I guess the other thing before we wrap it up I should mention is that, you know, you guys have been very nice about talking about Right or Wrong, A Writer's Guide to Creating Comics. That is now available on Kindle as well, so I'm very excited about that.
Woohoo!
Very cool.
Yeah, so, you know, even if you have, like, an Amazon Prime account, you can rent the book for free.
Ooh, I got that. So.
Yeah, there you go. You know,
Tony loves it.
I like free stuff.
Yeah,
And I'm very, 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 very close to being able to announce what's going on with Tales of Mystery. I can't announce it yet until the contract's finalized, but I'm so excited to be bringing him back, the original online series, as well as new content in print. And I'm going to be doing something that I've never done before with Ree, so I'm very, very excited.
Cool.
Well, that just means we have to interview you again.
6,000th interview in another couple months.
You're just setting yourself up for another interview, aren't you?
Oh, look at the time!
Yeah, I tell you what, it's going to be one of those things where I get a feeling we might as well just, you know, have a chair waiting here for you in the studio, and you can just start coming out here on the weekends to record with us.
Well, If I can get the Rock and Rye.
Oh yeah, we'll get you Rock and Rye. That's the great thing about
it. Look like I'm drinking something fancy. but thank you guys for having me on. I do appreciate it.
Hey Dirk, we appreciate it as always. Always a good time talking to you. So listeners, go pick up Big Dog Inc. Legend of Oz. Tell your retailer you want that, and tell them that you want Is it Love Stories or Love Tales?
Love Stories to Die For.
Love Stories to Die For from Image. And, yeah, you can find Dirk on Twitter. You can find him on Facebook. And he's got the little coupons that all you got to do is print them out and just hand them to your retailer and go, here.
I want these.
Yeah, and we will try and put one of those up in on our website with his interview as well. So
thank you.
People can go and do that if we can figure out how to work a computer.
Yeah. Well, we got you guys on the Skype, so anything is possible now.
Yeah. By the way, it still hurts from that pop in the Skype cherry a while back, but you know, whatever. It was with love.
It was with love. You know, it only hurts the first time.
Yeah. Whatever.
Well, thank you guys, and I mean, sure. Worst case scenario, I'm sure we'll be talking in person at Detroit Fan Fair. I would imagine.
I think at least a couple of us will be down there.
Yep.
Not quite sure exactly what the plan is, but yeah, we will be roaming around there, I'm sure, you know, here in a few months.
Good.
All right, cool. Well, Dirk, thank you again, and we will talk to you soon.
That sounds great. Thank you, gentlemen.
Bye.
Bye.
The end.